This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Philip C. In the meantime, we shift our attention to the Jackson Hole Symposium meeting, which happened over the weekend, where prominent central bankers, finance ministers, academics, and financial market participants from around the world converged to discuss economic developments and policies. This time, though, instead of enjoying the fresh air of the mountain ranges in Wyoming, the symposium was conducted virtually.
But this isn't the only thing that has been unique about this year's economic summit. Now, economists and central bankers have had to grapple with the unprecedented impact from the COVID-19 pandemic. Themed macroeconomic policy in an uneven economy, the symposium attendees not only have to navigate the global economy into sustainable recovery, but also have to contend with how countries can build resilient systems to mitigate future uneven shocks, as well as the interplay between fiscal and monetary policy.
So what did the Jackson Hole meeting tell us regarding the future of monetary policy tools? And what are the central bankers and governments, their plans moving forward? So to shed some light on this, we have on the line with us Professor Hans Gernberg, Professor of Economics and Senior Director of the Central Banking and Finance Programs at the Asia School of Business. Good morning, Professor. Now, Jerome Powell, in his speech, has said that tapering could begin as early as 2021. Now, what indicators are giving him the confidence to accelerate the reduction of the Fed's bond repurchase program?
Good morning. Before answering this question, the specific question, let me emphasize that what he was talking about is a reduction in the Fed's bond purchase program. And this is not a tightening in its policy. Tapering simply means moving towards less accommodating policy. And when we think about reducing bond purchases in this way, Chairman Powell's announcement is an acknowledgement that the U.S. economy is moving closer to the goal of maximum employment and price stability, the two objectives that Fed has been charged by Congress to achieve. But he also spoke about conditions under which the Fed would actually contemplate tightening its policy, either by raising the policy interest rate or by selling bonds rather than buying them. Then he was very clear that the economy would have to show that the inflation rate is above 2% on a sustained basis, and that economic activity is such that employment has reached its maximum sustainable level. So he was essentially saying that the economy is moving in the right direction, but hasn't reached the desired state.
So what happens if the economy does reverse course, right, as a result of other risks such as Delta variant? You know, does he have sufficient room to change course then?
Chairman Powell was very careful to explain that any action that the Fed takes is based on a very thorough examination of data relevant for the outlook of the economy, for employment and inflation in particular. And so his statements about the timing of the reduction, whether it's this year, later this year, or early next year, it was predicated on the current outlook as he perceived it. It was not a fixed date, and he certainly indicated that he and the FOMC members who set interest rates have the discretion to change their collective minds if the data suggests they should.
And if you look beyond tapering, were there any other policy tools or innovative solutions that were discussed as stimulus programs around the world slowly unwind?
One of the panels in the symposium dealt with the importance of coordination between monetary policy and fiscal policy. And with interest rates in many advanced economies being at or closer to the what is called the effective lower bound, essentially around zero or slightly negative, the ability of monetary policy to stabilize the economy is very limited. And therefore, fiscal policy, government tax and expenditure policies, must work hand in hand with central bank policies to achieve the goals of macro stability. And while this is generally well understood, in practice, it is not easy to implement. And also at the symposium, there were not many specific suggestions of how this implementation should be taken.
I guess, you know, this confluence of how you sort out between monetary and fiscal policy, it's really intended to address the issue that there's this whole risk of an uneven economy and labor markets, right? You know, so what insights and prescriptions, you know, stood out for you in trying to address that inequality that people are now talking about so much about?
So the two aspects of the uneven economy stood out for me. One referring to the increase in inequality within national jurisdictions, and the other one to the different economic outcomes in rich countries versus poor countries. Both of these have increased during the COVID pandemic. But for me, the most interesting discussion centered on the difference between rich and poor countries. And let me mention just three topics that I thought were noteworthy. Rich countries have been able to use fiscal policy to cushion the economic impact of the pandemic. And as a result of more financing constraint in poor countries, they have not been able to do the same. Secondly, vaccination rates against COVID in poor countries are significantly lower than in rich countries, a result again of their financial constraints. And third, the buildup of government debt in poor countries is on a trajectory that may lead to a debt crisis unless some debt forgiveness programs are adopted. And all three of these are likely to aggravate the unevenness between rich and poor countries going forward.
So if you take a step back and listen to all the perspectives and insights over the weekend, what do you think are the most fundamental changes that governments and central bankers will adopt to navigate their respective economies in the future then?
Well, unfortunately, this year's Jackson Hole conference did not include a panel discussion involving central bank governors. So we were not able to benefit from the views of other central banks than the U.S. Federal Reserve. And therefore, it's hard to tell how central bankers view these issues that were raised. It was mostly a discussion among academics. But the theme of the conference suggests that policymakers are cognizant of growing unevenness and the need to find appropriate policy responses. And my own view on that is that these policy responses are primarily fiscal in nature. Central banks can provide support in the form of analysis and recommendation, but their involvement must not be such as to distract them from pursuing their primary objectives of macroeconomic and financial stability, because if they go too far in other directions, they may lose their independence.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Professor Hans Genberg, Professor of Economics and Senior Director of the Central Banking and Finance Programs at the Asia School of Business, giving us his views. Now, interestingly, he reminded us the role of a central banker. Mm. Now, your job is to kind of make sure that the monetary policy goes hand in hand with the fiscal one. And you shouldn't overreach your responsibilities. But I guess with this COVID-19 situation and the economy in the doldrums, the first thing that all governments used, the first weapon was monetary policy. But you've got pretty much no more bullets left in the gun. So now it's up to fiscal policies to kind of push the economy to the next stage of growth.
But this is the tough part, right? Because as you said, the ammunition is run out in terms of monetary policy. The ball is in the fiscal policy court. But if they can't get revenue in, then the question is, what can you do, right? It's basically cutting expenditure. Now, the big challenge
is borrow.
And I only worry when he talks about the three criteria about the uneven economy. And I'm looking at my mind, I'm thinking, well, either the countries bandy together or work together to sort out this debt crisis that's looming, or you're going to have to rely on someone like the IMF to intervene. And so the IMF will have a huge entree to sort out this issue if it's very clear that we're going to shift from monetary to fiscal policy.
Yeah, what will the consequence be, though? There'll probably be very uneven growth between the rich and poor countries, and we're already seeing that, right?
Yep.
So those countries which have savings or ability to borrow, they probably can overcome the COVID-19 crisis much better, also because they've had higher vaccination rates. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.